engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good evening. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Welcome in the eve of the election. I just so happen to be Eric Erickson. The phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Around the nation, we'll take your phone calls, also streaming live on Facebook. So let me tell you what I know up to date around the country. It looks like in North Carolina, a state the Clinton campaign thought they might be able to pick up, the early voting for the Democrats is below expectations. It's actually below where Barack Obama was in 2012, and he had historically high numbers and still lost the state. Clinton is below that. So it's not looking good for the Clinton campaign in North Carolina right now. Florida appears to be at parity, except in the southern part of the state. There is a very high Hispanic turnout. Same in Nevada. But Clinton has had to go to Michigan. She's avoided the state because she's been fairly comfortable in the polls there, and suddenly she's doing an event. Now, my question is, based on where she is in Michigan, is she there for Michigan or is she there for the northern Ohio media markets, the Toledo, Ohio area, there on the southern border with Michigan? That may be possible, that she wants the Toledo media market. So she's in the southeast part of Michigan. Trump has been all over the map. In fact, today, Clinton is in Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and New Hampshire, a state that's suddenly headed towards Trump. Trump has been in Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, and Michigan. He spent most of his time in the last couple of weeks in Ohio, Florida, and Pennsylvania. We'll see if it pays off. It looks like if there was a strategic flaw, it might be the time the Trump campaign spent in Pennsylvania. The latest poll in Pennsylvania seems to look like the Democrats are doing okay there. Charlie Cook, the elections prognosticator, says right now it's looking to him like it'll be a 50-50 split in the Senate. Hillary Clinton wins the presidency and the Republicans keep the House, which, as you heard Chris Chandler say, is why the markets are doing okay. The markets have been deeply fearful that the Democrats would take back the House of Representatives. That looks like it's off the table. So I want to set the stage tonight for what to expect tomorrow. There are a number of things to expect tomorrow. I want to give you the order of poll closings so that you can get a sense of what the map is going to look like tomorrow night. For the first time, we're going to have data and statisticians on the ground in key precincts around the country releasing data in real time tomorrow, so we'll have a sense of turnout across the nation in real time. A number of congressmen are crying foul on that, as is the media consortium led by Edison that manages the exit polling. They don't think it's right. They're afraid that it could turn off voters and potentially suppress the vote, but the media groups that are doing this, including the Politico, they think that's a non-starter, that the other groups are just jealous. We're going to have a lot of technology deployed in 2016 that we've never had deployed before. And there are two bits of data that I think are the most fascinating bits of data for the entire campaign season. I've got some audio on that. I need to play some audio here, and I'm going to apologize in advance because it's Rachel Maddow. She doesn't have a Hillary Clinton voice, so you can be okay with that. But it is Rachel Maddow. But she's not making a partisan opinion here. She's just running through some numbers. And I've mentioned this before, but the final snapshot of this election really is something to behold. Where we are, I mean, we are less than 24 hours from Election Day. And where we stand in the polling is astonishing. Just listen to this.
There is one thing in the polling that I just want to point out. For everything that we've been through over the course of this campaign, for everything that has changed, all the twists and turns, so many reversals of fortune, just look at this for a second. We're going to put this up on the screen. This is how Hillary Clinton was viewed at the start of the campaign in January. 40% positive. You see that? Here's how Hillary Clinton is viewed now at the end of the campaign. October 2016. Oh, look, 40% positive. 40% in January, 40% in October. Now look at Donald Trump. Start of the campaign, this is January, Donald Trump, viewed positively by 29% of the country. Now Donald Trump has gone from 29% then to, this is October, 29% now. The country has not changed. I mean, in terms of the likability, which is basically the core view of these candidates, we haven't changed over the course of everything that has happened in this campaign. And even if you ask people how they feel about the prospect of either of these candidates being elected, again, look at this. These numbers are, they start in February and they go through to October. This is, would you be hopeful or satisfied if Donald Trump wins? 33% say yes. In October, 34% say yes. It's exactly the same for Hillary Clinton. Would you be hopeful or satisfied if she wins? 43 in February, 43 now. I mean, this campaign has been riveting. It has been through almost unimaginable twists and turns, but you know what? These candidates, and Brian Williams talked about this from the very beginning of this campaign. These candidates were household names from the very, very beginning of this. We knew how we feel about them, and we still feel exactly the same way.
It really is amazing when you think about it. The likability numbers and the excitement numbers are exactly the same as they were in January. And part of that is you've got two candidates running who, for different reasons, have virtually 100% name ID and did before the campaign started. You know, if a guy like Rubio or a John Kasich had run on the Republican side, or a Bernie Sanders or a Martin O'Malley had run on the Democratic side, they wouldn't have had 100% name ID when they went into the campaign. So those numbers would be in flux more. But Hillary and Donald have pretty much 100% name ID. Him through television and books, her from being first lady and a senator and someone who should be in jail. But the nation already had opinions of these people, and those opinions haven't changed. That is the singular most fascinating piece of data in this entire campaign. Now, I want to give you the order of the polls closing tomorrow night, because if it's a blowout, we'll know around 9:15 p.m. If it's not a blowout, we'll know sometime around 11:15 p.m. And let me run through the numbers, or run through the states, and you can get an idea. At 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vermont, and Virginia's polls will close. We'll have exit polling data, final exit polling data out very quickly after the polls close there. At 7:30 p.m., North Carolina, Ohio, West Virginia. If North Carolina is called early for Hillary Clinton, it's a bad night for Donald Trump. If it's called early for Donald Trump, he's got staying power. If North Carolina and Ohio both come in for Trump and do so quickly, along with West Virginia, Trump may very well win. At 8 p.m., Alabama, Connecticut, Delaware, the District of Columbia, Florida, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Missouri, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Tennessee all close at 8. At 8:30, Arkansas. At 9 o'clock, Arizona, Colorado, Louisiana, Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, New Mexico, New York, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, Wisconsin, and Wyoming close at 9 o'clock. At 10 o'clock tomorrow night, Iowa, Montana, Nevada, and Utah close. At 11, California, Hawaii, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington close. And at 1 a.m., Alaska. Now, if we work our way back, we know that California, Hawaii, Oregon, and Washington are going to go for Clinton, and Idaho and Alaska are going to go for Trump. At 10 p.m., we don't know about Iowa, and we don't know about Nevada. We don't even know about Utah. We do know Montana is going to go for Trump. Because we know that California, Oregon, and Washington, and Hawaii are going to go for Clinton, we can bake those in, and depending on the outcome at 9 p.m., if the races are really close, it'll take a while. If they're not, we may have an idea of how the race is shaping up pretty early in the night, one way or the other. Again, if it is not close, and the exits call it very quickly in North Carolina and Ohio for Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton may very well have a bad night. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Eric Erickson here. Phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Okay, y'all. Keep your eye tomorrow night on Vigo County, Indiana. It may actually become an anomalous county tomorrow night. That or Donald Trump's going to become president. And the reason I say that is because Vigo County looks to be leaning towards Donald Trump. That's the Terre Haute, Indiana area. 420 square miles, Vigo County is. Vigo County has gone with the winner of the presidential election in every election since 1888, with two exceptions. They voted for William Jennings Bryan over William Howard Taft. And they voted for, Adlai Stevenson over Dwight Eisenhower. But otherwise, not only has Vigo County, Indiana, since 1888, got the presidency right, but they've been within a couple percentage points of the percentage of the overall election as well. Now, political scientists will tell you there's no such thing as a bellwether state or a bellwether county. It's something the media talks about. If there is one, Vigo County would be it. Now, Mike Pence and Donald Trump are going to win Indiana tomorrow night. Doesn't mean they'll win Vigo County, though. Keep your eye on that county. The returns, let's see, where is it again? Indiana closes at, where is it, 8 o'clock, maybe? No, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Indiana's polls close at 7 o'clock tomorrow. So, follow along with Vigo County and its turnout results. You should be able to. It'll be a fascinating result one way or the other. Either Vigo County again gets it right, or only the third time since 1888 has it deviated. Worth noting either way. When we come back, another breakdown, what's happening on the ground right now, what we're hearing, where the candidates are, and we've also got to get into Georgia elections. The Metro Atlanta area has a number of ballot measures I want to review for you, most of them splossed issues, when we come back. Welcome back. Eric Erickson here. Have y'all seen the clip of the iguana from the Planet Earth series? You know Planet Earth, it was the first documentary series filmed in high def. Gorgeous, gorgeous documentary covering the planet, and they've done a sequel to it. They've come back, and this time they're filming in 4K. Instead of HD, and even the downgrade, I don't have a 4K TV, most everybody has a HD TV or lower. They don't have 4K TVs, but it's gorgeous. But there is a clip that has gone viral on the internet today of an iguana being chased by a snake. And as that iguana comes over a rock, a bunch of other snakes come out from under the rocks, go after it. I hate snakes. I mean, I Indiana Jones level hate snakes, and I got goosebumps just thinking about it. You got to see it's astounding to watch. Never have I rooted, Charlie was just saying this as well, never have I rooted for a lizard until today. Folks, I want to take a quick time out here. From talking the politics, we've got a lot more to talk about, including the media reaction and Bill Maher's hand wringing and the rest of them. Don't believe them. We'll get into that. But just pause for a reality check for just a minute. Everything's going to be okay. And I know some of you don't want to hear it. Everything's going to be okay. It's been a frustrating year. People's nerves are frayed. Friendships are frayed. Some friendships are in tatters. Everything's going to be okay. The sun is going to come up the day after tomorrow. And in Georgia, we're going to have good weather. And you're still going to have your family. You will hopefully still have your friends. Most of you will. You'll still have a job. You'll still have the same troubles and worries and burdens, but everything's going to be okay. I got to tell myself that a lot lately. With Christy having lung cancer and in my situation, I have to remind myself that everything's going to be okay. And it is. Everything works the way it's supposed to work. I don't understand his plan, but God's got a plan. Whatever happens tomorrow is part of that plan. And there is no use in worrying or screaming into the wind about it because it's part of his plan. And we're all implicitly, complicitly parts of that plan. But it's a bigger plan than any of us can understand. I don't know why this year has been this year. For me and my wife personally, I mean professionally, here with this radio program and elsewhere, the stuff that we've gone through, I don't understand. I have no idea. You know, one of Lot's or Job's friends told Job in the book of Job that, you know, some things just happen. There's no purpose. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. Sometimes just bad stuff happens. And there are no lessons to learn. And this may be one of those times. I suspect in hindsight there will be lessons to learn. We'll all get through this together. And I know this year has been so deeply wounding and frustrating and angry for so many. This election is almost over. The year will be over in another month and a half. And it's all going to be okay. Let not your heart be troubled. There is a plan. That plan is the master's plan. And it's a perfect plan, even if we don't understand it. So just relax, folks. One more day till campaign 2016's over. A buddy of mine has a great saying. I've adopted it as my own personal motto. Why pray when you can worry? On top of that, there are terror warnings. Although terror warnings to no avail, it raised some eyebrows, the FBI warning about terror attacks, potential terror disruptions in Texas, Virginia, and New York for today. Not for tomorrow, but for today. There are no signs that anything has happened or that anything is going to happen, but they picked up something across the internet suggesting that there might be terror incidents today in those three states. It didn't happen. What really raised people's eyebrows, though, is that it was Al-Qaeda. People were pointing to Al-Qaeda. And I thought Al-Qaeda had been decimated by the president. Apparently not. It raised some eyebrows from people that they're fingering Al-Qaeda for this. But it doesn't appear that anything's happening. Now they're warning maybe it's tomorrow. You can't live your life in fear like that, and nobody seems to know. They had enough to know that they should say something about today, not necessarily for tomorrow, so I guess those things are going to continue. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit when we come back, and I want to walk you through the Georgia ballot when we come back, the initiatives that are going on the Georgia ballot, and then all of these media folks wringing their hands saying, oh, we've cried wolf for so long, Romney really wasn't that bad. There's some interesting juxtapositions in that when we come back. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here. Y'all, so Christy and I, we woke up this morning to the sound of the kids telling us that there was something wrong with our coffee maker. We've got one of those Cuisinart coffee makers that has a little canister where you put the beans in up top. I've become a coffee snob. I get the coffee, the blue bottle coffee. They roast it on a Tuesday and they mail it on a Wednesday. We get it on a Thursday. And the coffee maker grinds up the beans and puts them. And we've had this coffee maker now for 5 or 6 years and we've had to replace parts on it. Well, it decided to commit suicide this morning. And we got up. And first of all, I got in trouble because I was the one who set the coffee pot last night. And so I got blamed for it. But we finally realized the latch was broken. That coffee pot shot coffee grounds everywhere. And then because the canister that holds the filter was not in right, water spray, hot water everywhere. It was a disaster. What a mess. Our coffee pot committed suicide. And the only reason I bring this up is because I had to go get a new one. I went to Belk's to get a new one down from the house. And there was a lady in front of me, and she had on 5 wedding rings. All on her ring finger, 5 wedding rings, all of them with rows of diamonds. I mean, this woman, just decked out in diamond-studded wedding rings. And the cashier commented on the wedding rings. And the woman who, she didn't look, she was elderly, but not that old. She said her husband has given her a wedding ring for every decade of marriage. So she's been married 56 years. She's got 5 wedding rings on her finger. She'll get another one in 4 years. The woman was 85 years old and did not look like it in any way, shape, or form. In fact, she wrote a check and the cashier was staring at her driver's license and back at her and staring at the driver's license and back at her because she didn't believe it. It was absolutely unbelievable. 50 years of marriage, though. 5 wedding rings. That's a neat little tradition. I'm not going to copy it because I would go broke, but nonetheless, when we come back, I want to look at the ballots. We got a lot of stuff on the ballots in Atlanta and Fulton County. They're going to be asked to vote on SPLOST initiatives. Atlanta in particular has a separate measure for MARTA. We've also got the 4 amendments on the ballot. Amendment 1 on education, Amendment 2 on human trafficking, Amendment 3 on the Judicial Qualifications Commission, and Amendment 4 on the fireworks. I'll break those down for you as well, tell you what people are saying about them. As well, when we come back, right out of the gate when we come back, this hand-wringing by Bill Maher and the left on how they've cried wolf in the past, and they're admitting it. Don't believe it, folks. There are a number of reasons. In fact, there's a good example today of why you should not believe the left when they start saying these things. Well, 25 hours from now, the polls close in Georgia. Unbelievable we've gotten this far. Unbelievable we're here. It started to feel like we would never get to this moment. Welcome, it's Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB, the nation's most listened to news talk station. The phone number 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. I want to play you some audio from, of all people, Bill Maher of HBO. He continues to invite me to come on his program, by the way, and I've continued to decline. I don't know. Every once in a while I think about it. Fox doesn't want me to do it, so I can't. I got a contract with Fox. But I want to play this audio for you, Bill Maher.
I know liberals made a big mistake because we attacked your boy Bush like he was the end of the world, and he wasn't. And Mitt Romney, we attacked that way. I gave Obama $1 million. I'm so afraid of Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney wouldn't have changed my life that much or yours.
No, absolutely correct.
Or John McCain. They were honorable men who we disagreed with, and we should have kept it that way. So we cried wolf, and that was wrong.
But now, that's his implication here. Jonah Goldberg has written so eloquently on this at National Review that the media has gotten to a point now where no one believes the media and the left in general because of these hysterics, and I don't believe them. In 4 years, it is my guess that people like Bill Maher will suddenly say, let's just hypothetical wild card, let's say it's Ben Sasse. Let's say Ben Sasse of Nebraska is the Republican nominee. Good young guy, intelligent young family, sympathetic background, conservative, funny, humorous guy. But his positions on abortion are extreme compared to Donald Trump. Donald Trump was reasonable on this issue. Donald Trump wanted to make Washington strong again. Ben Sasse wants to get rid of Washington. Whoever is the Republican nominee in 4 years, Donald Trump is going to go through immediate personality, reputation, rehabilitation, because whoever is the Republican nominee will suddenly be judged worse than Donald Trump, whether it is or not. If Mitt Romney were to come back in 4 years, what Bill Maher just said, Romney wasn't that bad, he wouldn't have changed my life. Suddenly, I was wrong about Mitt Romney. He's going to destroy us, so we're going to go nuclear holocaust. you've got all sorts of Democrats doing this. Jon Favreau, I guess the director, or maybe I'm talking about the Obama speechwriter. I don't know. One of them today said the same thing. There are a number of liberals. The New York Times has said this as well. And today the New York Times is running a story after saying this, that they've cried wolf, that the rhetoric needs to be more responsible. The New York Times wants you to know Republicans intend to have a coup against the Supreme Court. A coup. Now, a coup is where you overthrow and get rid of people. What is the Republican coup? Not confirming nominees to the Supreme Court. But they're calling it a coup. That's not responsible rhetoric. In the same vein, you're going to compare George W. Bush to a monkey? To Hitler? You're going to hang Mitt Romney for his binders full of women remark when that comment was about wanting to put women into government, having binders full of the names and resumes of women to get them in government, to open doors for them. And yet because he said it, binders full of women, that was a sexist, misogynistic way to say it. Therefore, he's unacceptable to be president, but he didn't grab them by their... So you're going to walk all that back? Really? Now? Now. Yeah, this whole time change thing. You know, my wife's favorite day of the year is fall back. In fact, she advocates having fall back every Monday and having spring forward every Friday afternoon. She's a big fan of fall back. This year, fall back just means one extra hour of this infernal election. Now, To the New York Times and Bill Maher, because we're hearing this from a lot of people, and I just in 4 years, I don't think this is going to happen, but it is an admission from them that they have been hysterical in the past. It is an admission from them that in the past, they demonized people inappropriately. In the past, they fear-mongered about Republican candidates they didn't like. They didn't try to use persuasive arguments. They tried to scare people into opposition. That's essentially what they're admitting here. And now they're saying, oh, but listen to us this time, because this time he really, really, really is that bad. And nobody does believe them. Folks, this is a very close race. If Donald Trump wins tomorrow, good riddance to Hillary Clinton. If Hillary Clinton wins tomorrow, well, won't have to deal with Donald Trump anymore. It's a very close race. The hysteric fear-mongering of the left for so long, though, has poisoned the atmosphere of American democracy. You can't have historic views anymore on, well, should men go in the women's bathroom? No, of course not. Well, you can't say that anymore because you're a bigot, according to the left. Should marriage be between a man and a woman? Well, you're a bigot if you think so. The left accuses you of being a bigot. They accuse you of being a racist. They accuse you of being a misogynist. They accuse you of having white privilege. They come up with insults and labels to shut down all manner of conversation. And now suddenly they're realizing the society that that has caused, and they're freaking out about it, but they don't want to go back. Don't make any mistake about it. They don't want to walk it back. They don't want to change. They don't want to suddenly allow the Christian baker to say, I can't bake the cake. No, you bigot, you got to bake the cake. We're just really sorry that all of this has given rise to Donald Trump. That's what they think. That's what they say. It can turn on them so easily as well. I mean, we're starting to see this on college campuses where the left is devouring the left. At some point, you go so far over that you begin consuming yourself, your own side, factions and fighting. Their chickens are coming home to roost. They deserve it. But I just don't believe in 4 years, maybe I need to flag this. And in 4 years, if they really do breathe a sigh of relief, as well, at least this guy isn't as bad as Trump. Well, then maybe I can say, okay, they really were sincere. But I just don't believe that in 4 years they're going to say, oh, this guy, he's so much better than the last guy. I think they're going to say he's so much worse. I think if you put up Marco Rubio, if you put up John McCain, if you put up Mitt Romney, if you put up Jeb Bush, if you put up Ted Cruz, if you put up Ben Sasse, if you put up Mike Pence, if you put up, you name it, put up Greg Abbott, Susana Martina, any Republican, Nikki Haley, put them up in 4 years, and I believe the same Democrats today who are admitting that they've cried wolf all along are going to go back to crying wolf. I would like to believe them. I hope to be wrong, but I'm not going to hold my breath, and you shouldn't either. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go through the ballots, through the amendments. First of all, I want you to know most of the counties, Gwinnett, I know for sure, Cobb, Fulton, you've all got splosts. Most counties have splosts. A lot of them are just renewals. None of them seem to be hugely controversial, except Atlanta has an additional one to raise taxes to fund specifically MARTA upgrades. Now, they've been trying to get Cobb County in on the act on this as well because of the new Brave Stadium, which it's going to be a disaster up there. Now, for those of you who are listening and you don't know the setup here, the new Brave Stadium, and it's a pretty sight. I flew my drone over it. It is at 75 and 285. In Cobb County, hugely busy intersection, and there's no public transportation to get there. So at rush hour, you got an evening game. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be really, really awful getting in and out of there. And Cobb County doesn't have public transportation. I mean, it's got buses that run up there. It doesn't have a train system, a subway system. It's going to be bad. Make no bones about it. It's going to be terrible unless they do some upgrades with the public transportation and infrastructure up there. I kind of feel bad for the incoming chairman in Cobb County. He's going to get blamed for a lot of stuff. Tim Lee's been thrown out of office for this thing, and the new guy's going to get some blame for it after a couple of years of nothing changing. It's an unfortunate situation to be in. But anyway, most counties have SPLOST issues. But then there are the ballot issues, the amendments to the Constitution. Now, somebody asked me why amend the Constitution. Believe it or not, state constitutions over time become riddled with amendments. Louisiana is one of the few exceptions. And the reason Louisiana is one of the few exceptions is because the Louisiana legal system is based on the Napoleonic Code. So you have the civil code in Louisiana, which is much more difficult to actually amend than the Constitution in Louisiana. It takes a lot of multiple votes of the legislature and debate to amend the civil code in Louisiana. Most states, though, constitutions are readily amendable because people, special interests in particular, they want to lock provisions into the Constitution. Like, for example, the Amendment 4, it would designate excise taxes on the sale of fireworks to solely go to firefighters. Now, why do we need that to be a constitutional amendment? It's a very good argument. I did vote for it because I think it's a good idea, but why? We don't really need it as a constitutional amendment. I'll explain this to you when we come back. It is rather glorious, the sudden cool down on the weather. So I'm running away from home after Wednesday night show. So I'll be here tomorrow night, and I'll be here in Wednesday night. And then I'm just running away, abandoning my whole family. I invited my wife to go with me and to bring the kids along, and she just decided that I wouldn't be as rested and able to completely tune out the world if we did, so I'm just going away and hiding for a few days. I'm just going to go drink beer and hit golf balls and, who knows, maybe develop a drug addiction, some way to get my way through the next 4 years. Either way, Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that, saying that'll be news. I kid because I care. Now, let's get into the ballot, the amendments. Now, why do states amend things? Well, the federal constitution has only been amended slightly more than two dozen times, 27, 28 times. The state constitutions around the nation, with the exception of Louisiana, and it too gets amended frequently, but not as frequently as other states. They get amended a lot because people want to preserve and protect fiefdoms, and they want to lock certain things into a constitution so the legislature can't screw them up. So let's take Amendment 4 on the ballot. Amendment 4 is a constitutional amendment that all taxes, excise taxes, on the sale of fireworks have to go to fire prevention and fire departments. In a drought situation like we're in right now with red flag warnings, it's even a little more pressing. And many of the fire departments, they're all taking neutral positions, but a lot of firefighters like it. Some of them are opposed to it, though, saying they think they'll become an increasingly unsympathetic group in the legislature by saying, well, you've got the excise tax locked into the Constitution. Why do we need to give you any more money? Most of them, though, support it. Why? Because that money is by legislation, the excise tax on fireworks, supposed to go to fire departments, but because it's not in the Constitution, the legislature can change that at any time, and they want it fixed. Amendment 1 is because the Supreme Court in Georgia screwed up its decision on charter schools, because it was a Democrat-backed activist court at the time. The Georgia Supreme Court ruled charter schools unconstitutional, and their amendment was so broad as to put in all sorts of protections to local education monopolies and school boards. Local school boards are one of the least accountable groups in the state of Georgia now because of that Supreme Court ruling on charter schools. So Amendment 1 would change that. Amendment 1 would allow the state to rescue failing schools. Failing schools as determined by the federal government standardized test standards. It appears that amendment's going to fail. I voted for it. It appears like it's going down. Even most of the supporters seem to have abandoned ship. I still support it, though, and think it's worth voting for. Amendment 2 is the human trafficking amendment. It would essentially establish fines. This one has to be in the Constitution because the legislature cannot legislatively establish some of the parameters this amendment would as far as fines, where they go and how they're charged. It would establish fines on individuals or organizations that are convicted of prostitution, running brothels, human trafficking, things like that. And those fees and fines would go towards rehabilitating women and children who are the victims of human trafficking. I support this amendment. I think it's a good idea. I'm a very big believer in fighting human trafficking, which is just absurdly growing around the world, and people don't pay attention to it because it doesn't have Hollywood celebrities combating it like the global warming crowd does, and it's a bigger issue. So Amendment 3, it would reform the Judicial Qualifications Commission. The JQC is essentially the ethics commission for judges. The JQC has the power to discipline judges, throw them off the bench, force them to retire. Members of the legislature want to take it over. Members of the legislature want the Senate, the Georgia Senate, to confirm picks made by the governor. Right now, the state bar picks some lawyers to look at the judges. The Supreme Court picks some judges, and the governor picks two non-lawyer citizens to kind of oversee the JQC. There have been some problems of late with the JQC, but the Georgia JQC has been a model for the country for a number of years in how to keep its judiciary honest and ethical. Members of the legislature, including some judge friends of mine as well outside the legislature, think it's time for a change and give it to the legislature because it would, clean up the system and allow the removal of judges who otherwise aren't going to be removed from the JQC who are causing problems. I think it just adds even more politics into an already politicized process. and voted against it. Those are the main amendments, though. Amendment 1 on education, Amendment 2 on human trafficking, Amendment 3 on fixing the JQC, and Amendment 4 on taxes from fireworks going to fire departments. Again, don't be a purist in this sense of, well, I think we shouldn't amend the Constitution. Every year we have amendments on the ballot. Every year amendments pass and fail in every other state because state constitutions structurally are different from the federal constitution. State constitutions in many times are used as checks on the plenary power of state legislatures on spending, to restrict what they can and cannot spend on. You know, Louisiana is actually an interesting situation in that in Louisiana, so many, one of the very few amendable things in the Louisiana Constitution, and this isn't to say their Constitution is unamendable, but one of the easiest ways to amend it is on fiscal purposes. And essentially in Louisiana, they've locked funding for everything into the Constitution except for education. So when governors want to cut budgets in Louisiana, the only thing they can cut is an education budget. That's got to be rethought there. That is a concern on the firefighters and on the human trafficking amendments. If you put these things in the Constitution, you're tying up more and more funds. You keep doing this over time, pretty soon you've locked away all the funds in the Constitution and the legislature can't do anything. Georgia, luckily, we're not at that point, and I don't think we'll ever get to that point. We're much more flexible, and which is why I'm not opposed to voting yes on both of them and did. But again, I get calls all the time from people saying, I just don't think we should be amending our Constitution. This state constitutions really are structurally different from the federal Constitution. Well, we are about 24 hours until polls close in Georgia. Can you believe we've gotten this far in the election? Really, I mean, what a marathon it has been, and what a crazy election season it has been. And it's almost over, and then campaign 2020 starts. Well, really, 2018 starts. The out of power party typically picks up more seats in Congress. Either way, whoever wins tomorrow is going to have negative favorability, which is just mind-boggling. What a season to be in politics, folks. We'll be back tomorrow all day. Great election coverage here at WSB. I'll be back tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, and then we'll see you at polls closing.